throughout the entire world, Al Jazeera, New York, England, wherever you may be around the globe. We are now going to commence Shiur number 11 in the Asava Klalim of the Goyin. First of all, the Shiur is dedicated to Ilu Nishbat Chochaleya Basel Chaim Zvi, and I'm very happy to report that Libby is back manning the computers, and we hope she had a very good time in New York, Baruch Hashem, with a simcha. We're happy to have her back. I want to thank the technicians of the previous programs. That was Lala two programs ago, and Mrs. Claver, last program. Okay, now, unfortunately, I didn't have enough time to get out the relevant Xeroxes, but hopefully, Mirat Hashem, the Xerox will be coming out to another day or two. Actually, I have them with me, but we can't get them out now. Libby informs me that it will take, in fact, too much
noise.
Right? It will take too much noise. Anyway, Peter Sugarman has three questions. So perhaps maybe we'll address Peter Sugarman's questions before we begin. Says Peter, according to the Ari, Peter, can you still see me? I mean, can you see me now? Because you say you can't see anything. Anyway, Peter Sugarman's question is, according to the Ari, is the world created out of the broken kelim of all the shviras, a kelim, or the broken piece of each kelim get caught by the kli sphere below, such that the physical world is created only out of shviras kelim of malchus? Basically, according to the Ari, the physical world consists of the shviras kelim. That's according to the Ari. All we have in the physical world is shviras kelim. Even though the Ari does speak about different patsup in the physical world, but the fact the physical worlds of Bria Yitzir Siya are Shivri HaKelim, which Mitzvah will speak about once again now. Your second question is, does the Gra agree with the Ari in respect to Shivri HaKelim for all Kelim above Malchus? Are the Kelim actually broke, but with Malchus there was a separation of the physical and spiritual? Well, the Goyin actually understands, the Goyin does speak about Shvirus HaKelim, but Malchus represents the physical world according to the Goyin. So in other words, according to the Goyin, the physical world which we see is Malchus. In other words, the Goyin might agree that there was a Shvirus HaKelim with the spheres above Malchus, but these constitute worlds which are not a physical world. Now perhaps they are more physical than Atzilus, but the physical world as we know it, which is Malchus, does not involve any Shvirus HaKelim. That's the answer to the second question. And the third question is, how can the Rambam hold that there is no Hashgacha below the celestial spheres when the Gemara states that there is a Malach on every blade of grass? Actually, it actually has to be moved up a little bit. The Malach on the blade of grass, Peter, is not Hashgacha. The Malach is merely just, the Malach on the blade of grass is just sort of like what you call the mazel, which tells the grass to grow. But that malach has absolutely nothing to do with hashkacha. Hashkacha is an issue for the Rambam, what's called tzchava oynish and bechira. The bread of glass does not have any bechira, and therefore does not have any tzchava oynish. That which the malach beats the grass and tells it to grow would be understood even by the achrayim, as well as the rishayim, as being the mazel of that grass that allows it to grow. It's purely deterministic, has nothing to do with hashkacha. Okay, fine. Now that we've answered Peter Sugarman's three questions, one more question. That's the question. If the answer is that this is part of man's hashkacha, since man needs the grass to grow, no, it's not part of man's hashkacha whatsoever. There's no hashkacha and grass according to the Rambam. Absolutely not. Okay, now, we've reached Klal Hay in the Gra, which is a turning point. So actually, this evening is going to be a turning point in the Shi'olim. Now, why is there a turning point? We've spoken about, up till now, we have spoken about the world, the created world. We've spoken about Torah. We've spoken about Torah, Limud HaTorah, the Chachmas HaTorah, with the Chachma that created the world, the Chachmas HaTorah. Now, the fact is that even though, of course, Torah has ethical content, of course, nonetheless, we saw that the Goyin, in a certain sense, treated Chachmas HaTorah as being a chachma, not different than, that's always different than the chachma sateva, the chachma of science. And therefore the Goyin, in fact, drew a parallelism regarding either the dibor or the ma'ase of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in other words, the Chochmas HaTorah also has a Rishimai, and there's a, the Chacham can understand the Torah in a very parallel way in which the Chacham understands the created world. However, now, but up till now, the Goyim has understood man's relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being, in a certain sense, intellectual. In other words, the thrust of the four kolalim of the Goyim up till now has been that just as man studies the created world and the roishim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chokhmah with which he created the world, remains in the physical world, then man can apprehend intellectually the scientific, the physical world from a scientific point of view. In addition to that, the roishim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also in the Torah too. That leads, that which we spoke about at the very end of Klal Dalet, a person can intellectually apprehend HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. So in other words, even though the Torah is contained of a certain amount of what's called ethical content, nonetheless, man's relation to the Torah is intellectual. Just like his relationship to the physical world is intellectual, the Goyim has stressed man's intellectual relationship with the Torah. That was really what we've seen all along, and particularly at the very end of Klal Dalet, right? Where the Goyim makes this beautiful analogy between the Roshim on the creation of the created world and the Roshim on the Oisius of the Torah, right? Which is symbolized by the Tagim. And just like man, through his intellect, is able to bring the, is understanding the world back to the initial chokhmah of creation, so too man through his intellect is able to bring the Torah back to the dibor and the chokhmah of Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as expressed in the Torah. That's what we've seen up till now. However, beginning in Klal Hei, we take a different, a radical turn. Here in Klal Hei, we're not going to be speaking about man apprehending God's creation, either his physical creation or his deep or his intellectual creation vis-a-vis the Torah. But now, beginning in Klal Hei, the Goyim is going to approach man's ethical, his personal relation to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Those of you who have more Hasidisha bent have probably been wondering, when is the Hamishkeit coming? Okay, the fact is, up until now, there's not been much Hamishkeit. We have been focusing on intellectual apprehension of creation, whether it be physical creation, whether it be the Torah, which is also creation. However, the Dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, now we're going to be dealing with man's ethical relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, namely the issue of Hashgacha, but in particular, Schar V'Onesh, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges man in accordance with his action. This represents man's ethical relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu now becomes a personal God. He's not a God who creates something which man ascertains intellectual. He's a God, Deus persona, that man has a personal relationship with it. God will punish man when he disobeys his will, and God will reward man when he observes his commandments. So beginning now in Klal Hei, the Asoa Klalim take a what's called an ethical turn from a God who is apprehended intellectually by virtue of his creation to a God with whom man has an ethical relationship with. And because of this, this is going to open up an entirely new world in terms not only of understanding the metaphysical structure of man's ethical relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but many of the ideas which we've developed in the first four Klalim are going to be radically retransformed and reinterpreted in terms of man's newfound ethical relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, and we will see this in Mitzvah as we go along. Now, let's just begin on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, Klal Hei, and see what the Goyim has to say to us, okay? V'ezras Hashem Yisborach. U'klei Hashgacha hein shisha. There are six kelim of Hashgacha. That means God's relationship with man. Shebehem manig abira yizbach elomai. Through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manig the world. So once again, we have a new term. We have a term of hanhaga. Up till now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, in fact, had an initial was initially at one with the world, either through his chokhmah, through his hashkafah, through his dibur, and after that there was a Kodesh Baruch Hu released himself. He basically disjointed himself from the world. That's the going called the Shvila. But now we're coming to a new concept called Hanhaga. Kodesh Baruch Hu is manhig the world, says the Goyim, in six different ways, using six different kelim. And one of these ways, so says the Goyim, on the second line of Klal Hei, which I believe is line 133, V'aynu, and we have here Lashay Tevois, Chagat Nahi. Chagat Nahi refer to the spheres of Chesed Gevura Teferes, Netzach Hoyt Yisoyt. Once again, up till now, in the previous Klalim, the Goyim has been concerned with the upper spheres, which are called Chachma, Bina, Vadas. That's what the Goyim were concerned with. And we've spoken at length in the previous lectures of Shiurim about Chachma, Bina, Vadas. Obviously, Chachma, Bina, Vadas are spheres through which man relates intellectually to God, and i.e., man relates intellectually to God's creation. Through relating intellectually to God's creation, man is in need of the spheres of Chochmah Bina Vadas. Now, however, here, man is not relating, as I said to you, intellectually to God. Man is relating ethically to God. The ethical relationship of man does not come through the spheres of Chochmah Bina Vadas, but really comes through the six lower spheres of Chesed Gevura Tiferes, Netzach Hoyt Yesod. Now, of course, there's a final sphere which is called Malchus. In Mirz Hashem, we will have a lot to say about Malchus, both tonight and in Mirz Hashem next week. Kloima, says the Goyim. Once again, I'm still on line 133. Shelefamim manik b'chesed. Sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu directs the world, relates to the world through chesed. Chesed here refers to mercy, charity. V'noisin toiv ad kotzer. And he gives good to the world, to its, you know, as much as he can do so. In other words, katsa means he gives the maximum amount of toiv to the world that is capable of doing it without completely inundating the world with chesed, in which case it will not be bechira. So in other words, this is the maximum amount of chesed allotted given the tzimtzum. It says the Goyim, why at katsa? There's a certain upper bound to God's chesed. Of course, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is capable of infinite chesed. Why is there an upper bound to chesed? Says the Goyim, Sheyesev yizel oyeyochel, bal bechir albeichem atoiv, shein ratzui yizboch, hainu amakayim mitzvos on the kabel. In other words, more chesed than this, a person would not be able to become a bal bechir. Baruch Hashem, we spoke about this in the first year, we don't have to go into detail right now. So in other words, the maximal amount of chesed that a Kodesh Baruch Hu can give and still leave the creation, leave the person who's the recipient of chesed to be a bal bechira. This is called the sphira, the kli of chesed. V'zehu chesed hu onaf hachoch ba'atzvoy. Okay, now comes the Goyim with an incredible statement here. Says the Goyim that chesed is a branch of chachma. In other words, even though we look at the upper three spheres, chachma bina v'das, as being qualitatively different than chagat nahi, because chachma bina v'das, the Goyim has expressed them in terms of the creation of the world. Chagat Nai deal with God's ethical relationship to the world. Nonetheless, says the Goyim, that Chesed is a branch of Chachma. Shamalashu koyach maos abakayim kodava. Because what is Chachma? The Goyim explained previously that Chachma comes with what's called koyach ma. Chachma is that which creates, which keeps the world going. Chachma is responsible for the existence of the world. Now what does Chesed do? Chesed continues God's keem of the world. So just like Chachma is involved in the perpetuating existence of the world, Koyachma, so too Chesed is like Chachma because it itself also contributes to the keem, the sustaining, the nourishing of the creation. Because if in fact God does not perpetuate and sustain the creation, there cannot be any good in the world. So interesting is that chesed is really a branch of chachma. we understand the chesed as being a specific way which HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to his creation, which we associate with the notion of mercy, but the Goyim says that ultimately chesed's root is in ontology. In other words, the ethical concept of chesed is rooted in ontology because chesed sustains and perpetuates existence as much as chokhmah does. Now, what is gevura? The noisin din over the tzayni, because Baruch Hu will sometimes punish, right? Will give retribution to those people who transgress his will, which is his mitzvahs. For this reason, because Baruch Hu created bali bechira so that they would choose between good and between obeying and not obeying his commandments. Now, because Baruch Hu has to somehow assure that man has free will, it means man's free will has to be significant, that people who disobey God's will are punished. So this is the going. Symptom is Ritzoinai. Because Baruch Hu has, in fact, contracted his Ritzoinai. So therefore, right, because Baruch Hu, on one hand, contracts his will to allow a person to have free will. Every person can do Kim and follow the way he wants. And to a person who transgresses God's law, so the Kadosh Baruch Hu will really contract himself, and therefore will, in a certain sense, be meinei, will prevent sustenance of his existence, right? And so, in other words, what the Gaon is really saying is that din is an anaf of gevura too, because din is a contraction of God's sustained nourishing of man's existence. Well, the Beinonim is Nine Vishnayim, and the Goyim says people who are Beinonim, because both will use both Kalim, both spheres, namely both Chesed, both Gevura. Vumidas Harachamim, says the Goyim, Amandav Kuflam Adalat, page 144. This is called Rachamim. Shemeiches Bereifei, Memes Bechai, Rachamim. In fact, is where Kadosh Baruch Hu performs both functions. He makes sick and he cures, he puts to death and he resurrects. But Tzavtzavim v'Oilim, they go down and go up. This is actually a quote from a Gemara Rosh Hashanah. V'zel kol ha'Oilim esnayim b'shnei elu, v'kol b'racham. In other words, the world will in fact operate with two things, expansion and contraction, which in their initial state are Chochmah and Bina, and now in their ethical state, in their ethical branches, are called Chesed and Din. Vadin Yadua Shu Onaf Habina. Once again, the Goyim says explicitly, just like I told you, you didn't believe me before that. The Goyim says explicitly, perhaps, line 146. Din is a branch of Gevul Abina. Ki kol ika Gevul ha'rotzer ha'toyim l'va yispasha yosef yishava b'ruim u'bechdela say din. The whole purpose of contraction is to give din, l'bal b'chira, to a person who will choose, asher yivcha b'ra, who chooses evil. V'zeh mi bina dinim is agra. In other words, dinim come from bina, because contraction allows for people to, in fact, exercise the free will, and by free will, they'll create evil. V'chem b'briya, right? Ki is oigos ha'dinim hu magbil ha'rotzoin, because what happens is that when there's more dinim, right? So this will be magbil, corresponds to rotzoin, to do good. Shemai ha'rotzoin bli gvul ha'amokim ha'baldin klal. Okay? When Kadosh Baruch Hu places bounds on his Zvot HaTov, whom is Ayera, he creates evil. Now, we see here something very interesting. Evil for the Goyin is not something in and of itself. Evil for the Goyin is a contraction of God's sustaining and perpetuating of existence. In other words, the lack of Chesed, the lack of Chochmah, Chesed is an Aleph of Chochmah, which is Gevura, that's something which accounts for Din. And accounts for, in fact, what's called Din, and I guess Din will come out to be Ra, evil. In other words, what is evil for the Goyim? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship to man, evil means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will actually apply a strong contractory methodology in order to prevent man from being the recipient of God's perpetuation of the sustaining of the creation. So in other words, for the Goyim, it would appear to be that Ra is not something which exists in and of itself, but Ra is basically a lack of Tov. That's what comes out according to the Goyim. Now, who is this, the Baal HaShita, that in fact, actually, that there is no such thing as Ra, but rather Ra is just a chisson of Toif. Well, this is none other than the Rambam in the Mer Nevuchim, right? In Chelek Shlishi of the Mer Nevuchim, Perek Yud, and Mitzvah Shabbat will also have this sent out, right? But you're going to have to believe me for now. Those of you who have Rambams and Mer Nevuchim in front of you, you can look on with me. In Perek Yud, the Rambam says clearly that in fact, that Ra is not something in and of itself. But rather, Ra is only a lack of goodness. In other words, when goodness is when goodness, Kodmo's goodness, is contracted, that's called Ra. But there's nothing, Kodesh Baruch Hu is incapable of creating something which is Ra. Kodesh Baruch Hu just limits his powers of goodness, and that's called Ra. Ra is an absence of good. And by doing this, in fact, actually the Rambam attacks the Kalam for this. The Kalam actually believes in something called Ra. In fact, the Rambam brings a pasuk. The pasuk is a pasuk Yishayo in Perek Mem Hei, pasuk Zayin, says in Yishayo, Yaitza or Uvere Chayshech, Aisa Shalim Uvere Ra. Right? Says the guy, right? His Biden Ketzer, it doesn't say Aisa Chayshech, it doesn't say Aisa Ra. Right? Because they're not things that are made. But rather it says, Bayre. Right? Now, what does Bayre mean? So it says the Rambam, I'm reading from Professor Schwartz's translation, that this word, right, you could say Bayre means it's a lack of something. Like Bayre, right, he says it comes from a lack of something. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is that the Torah doesn't say Oisila, we don't create evil. Bayrama means you create a creation. From that creation comes, a lack of that becomes evil. That's how the Rambam is learning in the Pasuk. Okay, so in other words, right? The fact is, who's the Baal Plukta of the Rambam? Who's arguing the Rambam? Well, none other than the Ramchal. The Ramchal, I have now the Bottle Friedlander edition. Chaim Friedlander, I'm sorry. Of Chaim Friedland edition of the Daf Tvumos. And I'm now on Daf Pehe in this edition. In other words, this is Simin Tzadik Vav. It's on the second half of the side. Those of you who have the Daf Tvumos in front of you. If not, you'll have to just believe me. Amir Hashem, we will send this out too. Says the Ramchal, Mashi is talk about the Chidu, what we have to explain. Hu inyin mitzius hara hazeh. Says, in fact, actually, the Ramchal, that Ra is a mitzius. It's something created by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is mechadish the concept of Ra. Ra is not a lack of toiv, but it's a chiddush, right? It's a chiddush of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? The Kodesh Baruch Hu created evil. It's the opposite of good. And says, and he brings up the right from the pasuk. What's the right? Which pasuk is he breaking? He says the Ramchal, the very pasuk, the very verse that the Rambam brought. The Ramchal brings this as a right to what he says. Yaitza Ovelego, Ani Hashem Oisek Kol Eila. What Oisek Kol Eila? That in fact the Kodesh Baruch Hu creates evil too. The Rambam focused on Asiya versus Bria. The Rambam says, look at the safe of the positive. Ani Hashem Oisek Kol Eila. What Oisek Kol Eila? Even evil. So we have here a very, very fundamental machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramchal. The Rambam says there's no such thing as evil, because Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot create evil, but Kodesh Baruch Hu can withhold his goodness, and the lack of goodness is what we call evil. Says the Ramchal, no, Kodesh Baruch Hu creates something called evil. This is the Chiddush, that Kodesh Baruch Hu reveals himself, right, after the Tzimtzum, by creating something as evil. Now, the fact is that you might think that this dispute between the Rambam and the Ramchal is basically pre-Tzimtzum and post-Tzimtzum. In other words, in pre-Tzimtzum that God directly creates the world, so God can create evil, chas v'shalom. God cannot create something which is evil. God, by definition, is only good. He can limit his creation, but he cannot create something which is evil. Masha'en, can you say the Ramchal is of the opinion that no, since it's a Tzimtzum, we cannot understand God in of himself, but God, as he reveals himself to us, in fact, reveals something which is called Ra. That's what you might say is the machloikas. Now, that might be the machloikas, but it can't be machloikas, but what do we do with the Goyim? The Goyim believed in the Tzimtzum, And the Goyim holds like the Rambam. This is an incredible question. The Goyim believes the Tzimtzum, but the Goyim is now holding with the Rambam that evil, in fact, actually is not something which is created. So therefore, if that's true, how could the Goyim take on the position of the Rambam that evil is only an absence of some maximal good, and by virtue of that, understand evil, right, as evil, not like the Ramchal, that evil is something which is created? So the answer is the following thing, and this is very, very important. This all goes back to the concept we've discussed over the last few weeks, which is really the Shviras HaKelim, the breaking of the vessels. Now, we spoke a little bit about this, the distinction, the important distinction between the way the Goyim's concept of the Shvira and the Haredi's concept of the Shvira. I think it's worth it now to go back to that and really focus on it again. The important chidushim, the important concepts which come from the Ari, are concepts which in fact are intended to answer, to resolve basic philosophical questions. For example, the Tzimtzum. What was the Tzimtzum of the Ari? Why did Ari come up with a concept of Tzimtzum? The question for the Kabbalah is that if before the creation of the world there's nothing but God, how can God create a world? Comes the Ari, and with the concept of Tzimtzum, gives a mechanism, methodology by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world. Now, what was the Shviras HaKelim? I claim the Shviras HaKelim is coming to answer another philosophical question. How do we acknowledge or accept the existence of evil in the world? How can there be evil in the world? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good, we all accept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is evil, so why should I listen to it? Because Baruch Hu was good. How do we account for evil? So comes the Kabbalah, and the Kabbalah says there's something called Shviras HaKelim. In the act where the vessels break, so therefore we have a state called broken vessels, which characterizes the physical worlds, a Bri Yetzir Asiya. The breaking of the vessels is something which creates what we would call to be evil. And that's in fact the Ramchal. If you look at the Ramchal, the Al Tavunos, the Sefer Kalam, you'll see clearly the Ramchal understands that evil is a chiddush of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was b'chadish through the mechanism of Shviras HaKelim. Shviras HaKelim is the Ari's important contribution to the notion of evil. Evil now has not become something which is less than maximal good. Evil becomes a thing in and of itself. And of course, the evil of the Ramchal is very important. Since it becomes something in and of itself, then therefore, this in fact presents a for man an important challenge that he has to reveal in Gili Yehudai, the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the only evil is really good. But none the case, the fact is that evil comes from the Shviras HaKelim. Now, we saw that the Goyim did not learn the Shviras HaKelim the same way as the Ari did. For the Goyim, the Shviras HaKelim was very similar to the Tzimtzum. It was basically a disengagement of God from the physical world. But there wasn't something which was broken, something which points to a breaking, a dysfunction, but rather the disengagement of God from the physical world is, on one hand, not only the Goyim's concept of Tzimtzum, but also the Goyim's concept of Shvira. If that's true, then Shvira merely points to the existence of a physical world. Hence, because of this, the Goyim's concept of evil, at least from coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reduces to that of the Rambam. We have the relationship of the Creator to the physical world. Evil merely is less than the maximal good. So in other words, for this reason, the Goyim's concept of evil will come closer to that of what? Come to that of the Rambam than the will of the Ramchal. The question is, but the Goyim does speak about Ra. Where is the Ra of the Goyim? So on this I want to make a very important diuk in the Goyim. The Goyim says on line 148, Asher Yivcha B'Ra. Ra is something that purely comes from man. When man chooses to violate God's command, that's called evil. In other words, what the goyim gains is that through the tzemtzum, through the shvira, where man is left to face a world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has removed himself from this physical world, and then man can now choose whether to obey God's command or not to obey God's command, man's disobedience of God's command, that's called ra, that's called evil. So evil for the goyim is a consequence of man's free will. Since man's free will is a consequence of God's tzimtzum, so in turn, and tzimtzum is for the goyim, kipshutoi, no more than disengagement. So therefore, the disengagement, which the goyim has called tzimtzum, which the goyim has also called shvira, the act of shvira in and of itself does not create evil, but the act of shvira, disengagement of God from the world, allows the conditions that man, by exercising his free will, can violate God's command, and therefore this violation, this is what's called evil. So evil, Baruch Hashem, according to the guy, fits into man's misuse of his free will, and this is what the guy calls evil. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we now have an interesting, so once again we see once again how the guy is using the rationalist philosophy of the Rambam in order to come at a much more rationalist conception of the notion of evil, not like the Ramchal. And once again, like we said before, the Ramchal's Shvira is very much like the Ari Shvira. It's an immanental Shvira. It's a Shvira within the world. It's a breaking, it's not just a disengagement. So in other words, this imminence, which the Goyim is trying to avoid, the consequence of this is that the Goyim now restructures the notion of evil. Okay, now let's go on in the Goyim. On line 151, 152, the Goyim says like this, once again, the Goyim is saying, Chesed is a branch of Chachma, Din is a branch of Bina, and Teferes is a branch of Das. Yedias adavu b'chala b'chinas b'arotz in the makavul shnei b'yachad v'nikru teferes ki teferes inu rak b'dova kolov lo b'dova b'yuchad shu b'teva. In other words, teferes is a combination, just like das is an understanding how the chokhmah is expressed through bina, like the goyim said previously, so too teferes. It's a combination of kol baruch hu, both expands, contracts, sustains, holds back, and that's called teferes. It's not something which is a natural process, right? It's a combination of two actions of God. Nachamim is a combination of chesed and din. In other words, what is rachamim? It's a combination of chesed and din. On who you merachem, a person deserves to be punished. Now comes the Goyim with a very, very important change in paradigm. Okay? Up till now, we've seen several important novel chidushim in the Goyim, the ontological nature of Chesed, Gevurah, and Teferes, number one. Number two, the Goyim's concept of evil, which, by the way, is consistent with the ontological concept of the first three spheres. But now comes the Goyim and says something very interesting. Says the Goyim, I'm now on line 158, Ach Elu HaShlosha, these three spheres, in other words, Chesed, Gevurah, Teferes, Hem Kol Echa B'Tachas HaKadosh Shalom. In other words, Chesed represents the maximum Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do. In other words, when we speak about Chesed, we speak about the most HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do, without compromising man's bechira. Din is the most evil, is the most lack of chesed that Kadosh Baruch Hu can possibly do, without compromising man's bechira. And so the Teferes is the mixture of the two. V'mkein yif shalei lemazel, the stag b'hem. But says the Goyim, an interesting thing. To give a person chesed, in other words, the first view of chesed, is for a person who's a total tzaddik. You can't have that in Olam Hazeh. to give a person din on a katzah to the limit of din, you can't have that war. Because not everybody's a perfect lasher. Right? So in other words, in Olam Hazeh, you can't have chesed din and tefenis. That's what the Goyim says. V'hainu, 159. If Charles says Hachesed lahatoivim hamakayim watabokbok, he ain't tzaddik ba'aretz. Shalo yechta. Says the Goyim, there isn't a tzaddik in the world who doesn't do what on the chayt. So you can't give a person chesed, pure unadulterated chesed. Says the Goyim. Therefore, what do you have to do to the tzaddik? I mean, the guy's 99.9% tzaddik. He's done a shtikal aveda. Like Eli tells a story that they were being done a certain person because what he said in the kedusha the sidra lemalo nigal arich v'leila behola he was basir daiter from atfilin. So even that tzaddik did some type of an avera. V'tzorach adayin ledin lemalko lezachroi. The tzaddik who's done like one avera his whole life did has to be mamalekim, has to somehow purify him, so that he can get the ultimate chesed in Olam Haba. So this midah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give Yisurim, will give din to tzaddikim. The Gemara calls this Yisurim Shel Ava, according to the Ramban. The Ramban's understanding of Yisurim Shel Ava in the Shah Gabul, that we have to be yasin the tzaddik a little bit for a minor favor for his Olam Haba. This is called Netzach. What is it called Netzach? Shai Yisurim v'adin haba al tzaddikim v'ilam hazeh. Yisurim and din that come to tzaddikim in this world. U'mitzal chastro et ha-chesed kol baruch hu shei chastro v'nes et ha-chesed shebi v'the Netzach. And this is Klal Yisrael, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the servant, the gold center, etc. Now, and similar to din too, says the Goyim, that sometimes tzaddikim will prosper, will flourish in this world, right? In order that what? That he should get the ultimate din in Olam Haba too. Now, what's interesting is, and this is very, very, very important over here, is that what the Goyim is doing, he's saying that the six midas, which because both is money in the world, chesed gevurah teferes, netzach hoyd yesoid, that these six midas, the first three, are absolute. The chesed of chesed is absolute. The din of din is absolute. The chesed in mixture of tefelas, however we understand, is called absolute. The perfect mixture. The perfect rachamim. These three spheres are not shayach. Do not pertain to the physical world. But rather are shayach only where? In Olam Haba. Basha'ekin, in the case of what? Netzach, hoy, yesoid. These are the ikar midas which work in the physical world. Now, in order that we should see how the Goyim expresses this a little bit differently, I am now going to quote from Likuti HaGror, Zechoy de Levocha. Can we see this? We can see this very clearly. This mutual symbol will be sent out to you. We all know that the Goyim wrote a very famous Peirush, as I've quoted several times before in the Shi'ulim, his Peirush on the Saf of the Steinusa, and the back of the Saf of the Steinusa are the Kutim of the Goyim, and some of the ideas of Sar Klolim are expressed similarly, but with a slight variance in the Kuti HaGoyim. Now, let me explain how the Goyim understands. I'm going to read now from the Goyim. It's actually Daf Lamed Ches Amud Bes, which means Amud Bes, meaning the second column, not the second side, the second column, and Daf Lamed Ches. Okay, the third line from the bottom in Likuti Hagro, which is in the back of the Goyim's Perush of the Saf and Steyosa, says the Goyim that in fact the lowest Sfiras, there are Gimel, Kloli, and Hoga, right? There are three Kloli, and Hoga, Chesed, Din, V'Rachamim, that's like Chesed, Din, Teferes, L'Hanik, L'Umo, L'Odom, Proti, in order to relate to man, right? Either the entire nation or to an individual person. The thing Mishpat Vatzeh, this is called the Mishpat. Mishpat means tit for tat, okay? V'Zeh Einu El L'Prokim, now this Tanhaga is only sometimes. He says, like Paroi. I'm just going over to the next page on Yam Suf. Or Tzadikim. Beskod El Hashem. Bechen HaChaset too. Abo Yisem is Man, Israel, Batetzak Elai, Bayam Suf, etc., etc. Abo Tanhaga is only because Man u Berachamim. Okay, the main Tanhaga of the world is really through Rachamim. But says the Goyim, right? Right? However, the first three spheres of the Goyim, now on the fifth line, that's the Hanhag of El Yoinim, the Chesed Gomer, Bidin Gomer, Rachim Geburim, and that's in Oilam Haba, in Gan Eden, El Yoinim, the Ganim Ubeninim. In other words, basically, in Gan Eden, in Oilam Haba, you either have Gan Eden, which is Chesed Gomer, you have Gehenna, which is Din Gomer, or you have Beninim, wherever the Beninim are, right, in Oilam Haba, that's called Teferes Gomer. That's for El Yoinim. Yoinim means people in Oilam Haba. Yenavelt. But people who are now still living in the terrestrial world, by the Bazes is the guy, okay, would be with me. 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 lines down, says the guy, Eev Shalis Naibahem. You can't treat people in this world with Chesed Din and Rachamim. But they had Hakat to be through, Netzachot Yisait. Kulam Muzogim. Netzach is a mixture. In other words, we punish the tzaddik a little bit. And hay is we reward the rosh a little bit. Now, what's yesoid? The guy's going to say, yesoid basically keeps the world going. The world is never going to collapse. And malchus is what it is. And the guy repeats this. The guy repeats this elsewhere in the Likutim. That in fact, Chesed, Gevurah and Teferes are in Olam Haba. Netzach, Hayit Yesod are in Olam Hazeh. So what we get is that this is what the Goy is referring to now. There's an Hanhaga of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Olam Haba, and this Hanhaga is Chesed Din Teferes, or Chesed Din Rachamim. Racham and Teferes are interchanged, and then the Hanhaga of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world is Netzach, Hayit Yesod. And Netzach, the word Netzach, because of the fact that Kosh Baruch Hu wants his chesed to be nitzchi, to be eternal. And in order to do that, he has to give a certain amount of punishment. He has to give ra to tzadikim, tzadik ve'raloi, so that therefore Kosh Baruch Hu can give him the ultimate chesed in Olam Haba. And says the Goyim, we're now on Daf Kuf Lamed Hey, because the Goyim says that these midas not only apply to individual people, but they apply to all Klal Yisrael, and all Klal Yisrael are like tzaddikim, kulam tzaddikim. Uvezeh hamidah misnayg imanu b'nei Yisrael, and Netzach is the midah which Kadosh Baruch Hu asks the Jewish people. Like it says, Netzach Yisrael lo yishakem. It's a pasuk, right? The pasuk in Shmuel, Shaul HaMelech Namalek, shesoivlim golos v'yisurin. That the Golas and Yesurin, the Klais will suffer in this world, Bechdei lo yishivim l'netzav yagbiyem, that the Klais should get their ultimate schab, and it should be lifted up in Olam Haba. And somebody says to Goyim, Gavim shol yishalim kol ayin dirishoyim b'olam hazeh, and you can't always ram, you can't always zap the rishoyim in this world. Ki l'mayit p'lahay p'am asu l'tzayin yisad rishoyim d'udu v'atum kadosh baruch hu. Like the Buchadetzah, he took 3 steps. But he didn't love Hoyt Malchus by Lamazem because of the schools, the 3 steps that Gemara speaks about it in Sanhedrin. He was given Malchus in this world. In other words, actually, the reward that he gives to the Shayim in this world will make sure that their punishment will last eternally in Olam Haba. His hapach all of Lamashkes will turn to a destructive force. Okay? Now, so we have Chesed, Gevurah, Teferes, Netzach, Hayit Yesod. Now, what's Yesod? What's Yesod? Says the Goyim, line 171. Yesod HaKol, Shemisnayim B'chol, Hahein Midas Hanal, Shemani B'Olam Hazeh, Vazeh B'Midah Lazu, B'Midah Lazu, Vazeh Kir Ma'olam Uvris Olam Hu Yaseh Shloi Timoi. Says the Goyim, however Kosh Baruch Hu acts with these midas, He always maintains that the world will exist. The world won't fall apart. This is Yesod. Yesod maintains. Yesod is the midah, the sphira. That as much as the Kadosh Baruch Hu will use the five midahs, in any way whatsoever, any permutation of the five midahs, the world will always remain. The world will not deconstruct. V'zeh kiyum ha'olam, says the Goyim, this is the kiyum of the world. U'bris ha'olam, the bris HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with the world, to Noyach, that he will never destroy the world. Yosed, shaloi timay, this is the spike that will not move. Shizkayim ha'olam gam v'zgabos ha'din ma'ay ma'ayin. Even if there's terrible din in the world will keep on going. Like during the Mabul. As he said, ha'olam v'zkayim v'doich u'banov, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept the world going with Noyach and his sons. Okay, fine. So now we have a description of the six kelim, the six spheres, nets of chesed kevod, the fair nets of chesed kevod. Once again, chagat, chesed kevod, and teferes, or in olam haba, that's ultimate chesed, ultimate din, ultimate teferes. Nets of chesed kevod are the hanhoges in olam hazeh. That's a good, I'm sorry. Yesod is that whatever combination, right, of spheres, Kosh Baruch Hu will always maintain the existence of the world. I see on the screen it says, please slow down a bit. I am slowing, Baruch Hashem Gam. Now we come to an important thing. Up to now, we've been speaking very straight, perhaps a little bit fast, but things have been very, very simple. But now, we're ready to go. Now I have you where I want you. Okay, now, like this. First of all, what's the tachlis? What's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of this? In other words, Chachma, Bina V'Das, the Tachlis was man's apprehension of God. Either the apprehension of God's physical creation, the apprehension of God's wisdom through the Torah, God's Dibur. What's the purpose of the six Kelim of Chagat Nahi? What's the purpose? Well, the Goyim is going to now return to an important thing which we actually spoke about. If it wasn't the first, it must have been the second shiur. What's the tachlis of the world? What's the purpose of the world? The Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel, I think it's Perek Yud Gimel, that there's no tachlis of the world. Okay? The Ramchal says, we saw this in the Ramchal. The tachlis, the purpose of the world, is what's called Gilu Yehudai, that man should apprehend God's unity. That's why there's evil. When all the evil is turned into good, man's apprehension of the magnitude of God's good and God's unity becomes immense. However, for the Goyim, as we will remember from the first or the second lecture, the purpose of creation was called Kavod Malchusai. That when man chooses and is either punished or rewarded in accordance with his choice, and this is seen and obvious to anyone who beholds it, this is the purpose of creation. We spoke about this. The Goyim now is going to return to this, but on a much higher and more complex level. And this is really what we now begin to speak about. And first, let's go through this final but very central paragraph in the Yisoa Klolim, in Perikei, and we'll go back to this in Mirat Hashem next week with greater depth and a whole new horizon on an understanding of the Goyim's conception of man's ethical relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now I'm going to read to you, beginning on Daf Kuf Lamed He, beginning on line 177. Says the God, Elo Hashisha Nikoyim Shisha Katsophis. These are called Shisha Katsophis. A Katsem means a limit, the six limits. Why are they called six limits? Lamaisa, this is the Lashon of the Ari. Shisha Katsophis. It's called Vak. Six Katsophis. Vav Katsophis. Vak. Chagat Nai is called Vak. His father called it Wak. Kikola Chag Yeshlo Katsa Ugvul. Because each of the meters has a bound. Famous Pashtin Beshisha Katsavis or Oilam. These six Katsavis, says the guy in a very enigmatic line, are mispashet. They extend in the six directions of the world. You all know the six directions, right? There's the four directions, east, north, south, east, and west, and there's up and down. Umani Bahemis Oilamai. And through these six kelim, these shisha ketzafos, because Baruch Hu directs the world. Vayidei hashisha now mizgala kavoy b'chus is Baruch, and through these six ketzafos is revealed kavoy malchusay. Shehu ikav v'sherish kavanas abriyah, which is the purpose of the entire creation. V'zeu malchus. Ah, we come now to the final sphere. We had the first three, Chochma Bina V'Das. We had the Sheish Ketzavos. The first spheres are called Gar, Shalosh Rishonos, Chochma Bina V'Das. We had the six Ketzavos, Chagat Nahi, Chesed Gevurah Tiferes Kol Yisroel. Now we come to Malchus. Malchus the Tachlis. V'zehu Malchus, Tachlis HaKol. The purpose of everything is Malchus. Without it, Malchus is the last sphere. Malchus is the purpose of creation. Tachlis HaKol, Shloimei Emunei Yisrael. This is the Malchus of the Shloimei Emunei Yisrael, the Amish, the Hamish Yidden. Sheyesh Beirei Mashkiach HaKol, the Eila Bechinas. The purpose that people should see a Kadosh Baruch Hu with Mashkiach on everybody and everything in the world through these Sheish Ketzavos. For Tachlis HaKol, that was the purpose of this. When you see a Kadosh Baruch Hu Mashkiach the entire world using these six dimensions, the six dimensional Hashkocha, Lekabel Oymach HaShemayim, the people should take upon themselves the yoke of heaven, Oymach HaShemayim, Umachusay Bakol Mashallah. Kadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus is in every nook and cranny of the world, meaning in our Nusach, every dimension of the world. There are six dimensions to the ethical world, to the physical ethical world. Kadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus is in every mashallah, in every dimension. These are the Sheish Ketzavos. Vayidei kabbalaseinu ol malchus shamayim bekiyam etzayne by bimakabal ol shamayim, through doing God's will. And doing God's will is only through the Tanach mitzvahs, the 620 mitzvahs. That means the Tanach mitzvahs command the Klai Yisrael Shem Yisrael Rabbanon. Boy, Machtira, I say, the Kesa Malucha. We give a Kosh Bo Kesa Malucha. Ah! What's Kesa Malucha? Kesa Malucha? What's Kesa? What's Kesa? There's a sphere called Kesa that we forgot to speak about. We're speaking Kabbalah, no one asked me on the screen. Where's Kesa? All of a sudden, we have Kesa. Who keeps his Makayim the Rotz and the will of his master, when his Gala Rotz and Atoiv, Hamiti, and Kosh Boruch's Rotz and Atoiv is revealed, Betachlis, as the end of it. And it's Galak Kavoy Malchus. Okay, now, what are we going to do? The Gaon has some very interesting things here. I know it seems easy. It's very complicated. Because the key word here is going to be Kesa Malucha. In fact, what we've done now is we've gone back to a Sfila which is actually higher than all the Sfilas we have, namely Kesa. Now, We've learned in the Goy that there's only 10 Sfiyot beginning with Chochmah. The answer is no. There's a Sfiyot of Kesel. We come to Kesel, when we come to the very end, the Goy is calling this Kesel Melucha. How do I know this? Do I have Ruach HaKodesh? Incidentally, I happen to have Ruach HaKodesh, but it's not important. Even without Ruach HaKodesh, you can have this, because the fact is that in Likuti HaGroa, in the Safa the Sneilsa, the Goyin is actually going to give tremendous detail to these last few lines. And we're going to see in greater depth, in greater dimensions, how the entire system of the Sfiras works out vis-a-vis God's ethical relationship with man. Once again, this is not intellectual apprehension, but this is the ethical relationship to the man. The question is, what is the metaphysical structure of man's intellectual, man's ethical relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in contradistinction to man's intellectual relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu? What the Goy is going to do is the Goy is going to change the spheres. There's going to be an ethical dimension to the spheres differently than the spheres of Chok Bir Vadas, which we saw vis-a-vis man's intellectual apprehension. And because of this, the Goy now is going to present to us the panorama of man's ethical relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu, or namely, what's even more so, Kodesh Baruch Hu, not as the God of Creator, but as the personal God as relates to man on a personal level. So we have here an entirely different outlook in man's relationship to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu's relationship to the world. Now, like I said before, I'm going to send out the Daf Tevunos, which I quoted today. We're not going to go back to that so much. I'm going to send out the Meilon Avochim, which I quoted today. We're also not going to go back to that so much. And I'm going to send out Likuti HaGroa, which we will go back to, Emet Hashem, next week. We're going to go back to it in detail. I'm going to expect that you have in front of you, Emet Hashem, next week, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph Amud Beis, Lamed Ches Amud Gimel Amud Dalet, and Lamed Tes Amud Aleph and Amud Beis. Three pages of Likuti HaGroa, in which the God is going to take these last three lines and is going to dig it with tremendous depth in Yitzhak Shem. And this is something that Yitzhak Shem will explain and go into in great detail next week. Until then, I hope that everybody will look at the sheets before next time. Everyone should have a good tevach, a good week. This was lecture 11. Next week will be lecture 12. I want to thank again Libby for having come back and done even a greater job than she's ever done. And I hope that everybody has a good week, a successful week.
Questions.
What?
Thank you for those questions.
And I want to thank Peter Sugarman, especially, that Peter Sugarman has asked three important questions, which shows that there's still life out there, which is important. Thank you very much, Peter. And have a good week.